different traditions. In Zen, you're more like see like kind of garden Buddhas or maybe some kind of bodhisattva in the bathroom or something. And we don't see that so much in Vajrayana. Okay? Good. Still good? So usually when we start practicing, you know, we have a body image. Usually it's kind of a mixture of how we feel in the body and kind of just a medical body we have. Wouldn't you say? You know, we say, well, like, my legs are hurting me, or, you know, I'm made up, you know, we just our medical body. But when we're doing tantra style practices, we, of course, are working from a different level. When we're doing tantra style practices, generally we're going to start by becoming some kind of identifying with our Buddha nature and identifying with some aspect of Buddha nature, like Medicine Buddha or Yamantaka, Vajragini, maybe some of the high yoga tantras or Kalachakra. So that's what we kind of like look like from the outside. But in some sense, the main purpose of doing the deity yoga practice, so we have the Vajra pride, so we completely identify like we are actually Buddhas. But, and some people are familiar, now we're doing Medicine Buddha practice, correct? And understand that. But the visualizations and the identifying the Buddha's melting into us, like Medicine Buddha, we don't talk about that very much, about the channels and the winds and the tiddly, the drops, we don't talk too much about that. So I'm going to talk about that tonight. The Buddhist tantras are different than the Hindu tantras. So almost everything, the Buddhist tantras are different than the Hindu tantras. We're clear on that, right? So all the yoga studios generally are going to be Vedic tantra, so the seven chakras and the colors and all that, that's not what we're doing. Besides, they're just generally talking about the chakras. But in starting out with us, the most important things are the channels to start with. So we're imagining them. But as I've talked about, the imagination in this sense isn't imagination as in fantasy or delusion. It's imagination in the sense that we're imagining we're going to go home and get in our nice comfy bed. We're not in our nice comfy bed yet, and the imagination isn't the nice comfy bed, but it's not totally different than the nice comfy bed, right? So you imagine yourself, okay, it'll be great, I'll just fall asleep, and you can visualize your bedroom, or maybe your kitchen. We're imagining it right now, perhaps, right? So that's not, it's not total fantasy, is it? It's not like imagining we're just flying. So our inner body, the Vajra body, and the channels are like that. There's a central channel, which is like kind of like a tube that starts here and kind of loops like kind of a cane handle, right? Goes and then runs along our spine and goes, some pictures depict just going down to your belly button some further to our secret place. But in any case, it's like a tube in a way. And then there's a right and left channel. Like sometimes just starting here.
The what?
The channel starting here.
What did you call the middle one? Is that
the middle channel. What did I call it? Like sometimes called like Avaduti, you know, central. Or that's Sanskrit. Or easy Uma. Sometimes middle. There's also a term for Madhyamaka, but Uma means middle. Okay. Central. Yeah. So we want our winds, and in Tibetan that's called lung, or in Sanskrit, you know, Tibetans don't use that much, prana, right? We want the winds to come to rest in the central channel. And there's different kinds of coming to rest, but the first coming to rest is they don't want to be overly balanced on one side or the other. So that's why we do some of the breath meditations. When was the on the yoga day, I went over the 9 breaths. I've done it before, but do you want to hear it again? Okay. So you put your thumb here. And you make a Vajra fist. Yeah. Vajra fist? What are we doing with the recording again? We have to clean it up first. Oh. Put our thumb at the base of our ring finger and then close around. Now, and some, we're not going to be able to do it, but like in some practices, like you're really up like this, right? But we're not going to worry about that. It's kind of neat. You know, you find when you're really straightening out your arms, your belly really relaxes. You can feel that, you know. But we're not going to do much of that right now, but we're going to breathe out as our right arm goes out, brushing against our leg, back of the hand, and then breathe in like our wrist and then come up. So that's 3, right? Out, in, out. So you have, when you come back in, you have to kind of breathe in, or you won't be able to breathe out again. You'll figure that out. I didn't have to say that. Maybe I did. So left, out. And then both at the same time. I'm up to heart level and so we can stop there, or sometimes that's when you do a vase breath, you know, that's when you do this, and you're doing, maybe I'll teach this more next time, but then we're bringing Oma Hung down into the belly, and it starts to spin in that wheel of joy. So we have the three colors, white, red, and blue. So you're creating an energy force like below your navel there. So the winds are coming into the central channel, right? Because we're bringing in the central, balancing them, and then also creating this energetic wheel of joy, because the winds are with the mantras Om Ahung, Om's white, push down, then red, then blue. Not making sense, right? Okay. What's important is that it's imaginal in a real way. Like, all we have to do is imagine something really wonderful happening. And well, our body will respond, actually, right? We'll start feeling something really good. We imagine, like, we don't have to go to work tomorrow. We won the lottery or something. We say, "Woo, feel good." Definitely, all we have to do is imagine something bad, and suddenly we're having some pain and everything. So the imaginal world and the real world are very much connected. So when we're talking about moving the winds with the colors and the mantras, it can get very specific, but what I want people to do, particularly Darshan students, is you kind of play with it, and then you see what happens, and then you bring it to the Lama. Exoteric versions of teaching it are people want to know the exact teachings, so that you don't have to ask any questions. That's for lower, that's a Kriya yoga kind of way of doing things. Kriya yoga way is like everything's, you know, this is exactly how the water bowls are done, and that way you can totally get it right, and you don't have to experiment with it or ask any questions, right? Sometimes that's necessary. Okay, this is exactly the way we're going to do things. But once you also have to experiment, because without doing that, you're not going to make it your own. And we have to develop both humility and the confidence to experiment without going too crazy, and to ask questions that come from our own experience. This is obvious, right? Or sometimes it has to be said again. So there are different styles of teaching. Teaching for the superior students is where you give just enough for people to get going so they won't do it incorrectly, and then they practice, and then they bring it to the Lama, and then you work with it. It's more sometimes humiliating and embarrassing, but we need that. But in any case, I want people to just practice with the idea that they have kind of these channels in their body, just these three to start with, so that we feel the air moving up and down, the winds moving around inside our body. And that there are these three main ones and at least the main kind of freeway in the middle. The idea of the winds is very important because when we do advanced tantra practice, kala chakra practice particularly, the winds and the clear light mind have to come together. The winds in this sense, of course, in some sense are imaginal, metaphorical, but real too. It's like, where's the energy moving in your body? So lots of times I'll ask people, where's the energy in your body right now and what's it doing? And sometimes people draw a blank, but something is always happening. So we have a few minutes for meditation. So when you create the imaginal structure, like if you just think, well, I've just got these kind of flexible, kind of nice imaginary channels or tubes that the winds and the mind can run up and down, then what actually is the experience when you set that structure in motion, right? So there are always two things. You're creating the imaginal structure, which then allows the experience, the felt sense, right? And you can feel the structure too, like, well, it feels, now I can't swallow because I got these channels, and you know. Then you can feel the structure too, but the structure itself is meant to support the living felt experience. So they're kind of two things, right? I like to compare it to this kind of the experience of riding the bicycle technically, and then there's the overall experience of enjoying a good ride. I'll take two questions before we do the meditation if somebody wants to. There are colors. Right now, it's central channel just a little bit, kind of just nice, kind of pinkish red or something, just nice. Kind of a vibrant color. I don't know, everyone's color is going to look a little different. But they're kind of transparent at the same time. So, yes. What blocks them and what unblocks them? Yeah. Well, we should have like, we should each have like a little piece of Boy Scout rope here. So, how do we create a knot and then how do you untie the knot? It's interesting. So that's a good question, actually. we have all these kind of techniques and then pointing out instructions and stuff like that, which is really good. If we could exactly say how, this is really high DJing. If we could exactly say how things screw up and exactly say how we get liberated, we wouldn't be able to get liberated. If we could exactly say how the delusional thing happens and how we uncover the delusion, we wouldn't be able to get free with it. The weird thing is when the correct view is pointed out, then and we have the right emotional connection, then it snaps into place. And when when we get tipped over for some reason, trauma, or we just get kind of delusional set or something, then we need someone to get us back on. But basically what happens with we get tipped over when there's too much energy. But we can't really say how the delusion actually happens. Otherwise it wouldn't be delusion, we wouldn't get free from it. That's really weird, right? I'm just kind of skipping ahead through a whole bunch of things because I've listened over, sometimes listen to other teachers and and I can tell the students go, okay, that's exactly why we get effed up and how we get free. But it looks like the more detailed you'd get about how you get screwed up and free, the more detailed, like this person. Yeah, they're not. So the real thing is, if we could say exactly how we got screwed up and exactly how we got free, we couldn't do it. So we kind of approximate it. You see, we actually kind of approximate it, and then the system kind of snaps in. This is the real thing, folks. I'm so, because it always looks like I'll just drill down and I'll see exactly kind of like Freudian psychology. There. That's when you got neurotic. You can't do it.
That's what they try to do. Some of the
psychiatrists, they really try to drill to that fine. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why Mayana says you can't do it. Because you'll just keep on dividing it. You find more quirks or little pieces of atom as you go along. Yeah. Okay, we need to do, just try to just imagine a world. You've got this central channel and two ones on the side, and you're allowing your breath to move into the central. Your one that goes like this. So please experiment. This is a simple exercise of imagining what it's like to just have energy, breath, running in kind of a coordinated way. Because usually, I talk to people, their energy is all over the place, right? It's spotty, like, oh, I feel a lot of energy over here and a little over here. And okay, we need to start by imagining that it actually has a middle point and a channel, it has a pathway. So it's just it's so basic, it seems almost like, but just start imagining that actually energy in my body and my mind is running along a pathway. It isn't all disorganized and sporadic, or just reacting to outside stimuli, like it's hot outside, so my energy is low or something. We're imagining it's running on this internal energy pathway, and then see what happens. And then you see what happens, and then you build a little bit more infrastructure, and then you get the felt experience, and then you add more. Instead of like totally studying like where every single thing happens and then trying to have an experience as a result of that, you probably won't have an experience. You'll just be carrying around a great map. So you create enough, then you see what happens, then you add a little bit more and see what happens. It's easy. So we can talk about it next time I talk, and for Darshan too. Sometime in November we'll be doing a refuge ceremony. We're getting people interested. And next month will be very busy. Okay, we'll do prayers. We probably haven't sent out the email yet, but the Sarah J. Monks will be here on the weekend of the 15th and 16th next month, 2 weeks from now, almost a little bit more, to dissolve the sand mandala. So we'll be doing that Sunday around 11, something like that, the 16th of October. So we'll get that together. So if anybody wants to come, just tell them to come. And if anybody wants to see it before it's dissolved, now's the time.